Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
The scripture reading this morning is Mark 13, verses 1 through 8, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Those of you who have lunch dates, fear not. I ate it on my feet. Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God. Until we do something. Amen. This text from Mark is, according to scholars, is compiled from a variety of sources. Mark, as you probably know, is the first gospel written. It doesn't appear that way, but it's because it's the way it's put in. But it uses the oldest sources. This particular text is a prelude to the Passion narrative and probably is a combination of two or three stories that were used to depict the life of Jesus. Here you have them first in the temple district and them commenting on this magnificent piece of architecture. The disciples are concerned with that, and Jesus is concerned with the future. Matthew contains this story almost verbatim, a couple of words different. Luke, probably a better writer, Luke edits and has a tighter version of it. Matthew's is in the 24th chapter, and Luke's is in the 21st chapter of his text. But the story remains the same in that the disciples disconnect. They are more concerned with the beauty of the building, and Jesus is talking about the future of the life of faith and lifts forecasts the destruction of the temple, which would happen shortly after his life. Probably the single most important thing that we need to take away from the reading is the overarching message is why waste time with speculating on the end when the call and claim of Jesus is to discipleship? We don't have any control. Jesus himself says, we don't know the time or the day. Be active in faith. But as one of my friends says, we would rather search for demons. We'd rather search for demons than celebrate the angels in our midst. And no, I didn't know when I wrote that what you were singing. So it's sometimes providence works. I don't think it's predestination. But we like to predict things as dire and terrible. When Al Gore was running for the presidency, I had a dear friend I was out to breakfast with. And this friend Ted Kennessy and I were with this person, and I don't have permission to use the story, so I'll leave it at that. And the friend said, it seemed very upset, and Ted said to this individual, "You seem agitated." And the person literally hand-wringing, "Aren't you concerned that Al Gore might actually win the presidency?" Ted smiled and said, "No." And the person said, "Seriously, it's like the end of the world if Al Gore won." Now, we know that he didn't, and I could say why I think he didn't win, but that's a whole other sermon. The fact is, then I was asked, wasn't I concerned? And I said, "You know, I salute a different flag." And it took the friend a while to get it. I said, I pull no punches. I want Al Gore to win, but if he doesn't, my life is not over. It's not going to change who I am, what my values are, or how I live my life. Well, I thought, well, that's past us. And then President Barack Obama won a second term, and not one, but a half a dozen celebrities tweeted, and this is a very close paraphrase, "This is the end for America." Really? I thought we had moved beyond that, but we haven't. And then UCLA won yesterday, and I get the same thing. Oh, it's the end of USC football. It's the end of the world. Well, for those of us who have a fondness for UCLA, it was kind of a nice moment, but they still have three games left, folks. So, you know, where does the end come from, and how does it come at us? Well, this is from the Gospel of Wise and Aldrich, who write real-life adventures. One is from either yesterday or the day before, and one's from October. The woman is talking to her husband, and yes, I'm aware these are different characters. If you are a fan of these, remember I'm a funny page aficionado. The wife is talking to her husband. "It's time again for your uncle's burping, my mom's awful sweet potato hash, and your brother's little urchins destroying our house." The man is reading his newspaper, and he says, "You may think of them as a string of disasters, but I prefer Thanksgiving traditions." And then from October, a little girl is talking to her father and says, "Dad, do you think there's intelligent life on other planets?" "Yes, yes, I do. The proof is that they're smart enough to stay away from us." And then I had pulled this lovely article to show you. It's titled, the author is Bo Yarborough, who's a staff writer for the Daily News, Los Angeles area newspaper. It says, "Ding dong, the Twinkie's dead." After 82 years, the Hostess Corporation is going out of business because of labor strike. 18,500 people are losing their jobs. 1,800 are losing their jobs in Los Angeles area. And I had worked out this elaborate illustration, and then Patty emailed me. And here's, she said, "So this internet post is going about, and it made me think about Mark 13, 1 to 8, which she preached on admirably at 8:15, I'm told. And here's the quote. It says, "So Twinkies, which were supposed to survive a nuclear holocaust, they die 3 weeks before the end of the world." And then the tagline, "Well played, Mayans." And those of you who are paying attention or aren't paying attention, the Mayans predict that in 3 weeks the world will end. So what are we afraid of? Where are the stages, and where are the things that we take as signs and times? Well, this one actually frightens me. This is from Idaho. It's an AP, an Associated Press story, so I don't have a name. But it's a fourth grade, and I'm just going to read it because it's so unbelievably frightening at some level. A A fourth grade teacher in southern Idaho is being criticized for having her students use permanent markers to draw on the faces of classmates who failed to meet reading goals. Did you hear that? Okay. Some parents and administrators say the punishments given to 9 students in Summer Larson's, I would change her first name, by the way, but Summer Larson's class, were inappropriate and left the children feeling shamed. Cindy Hurst said recently her 10-year-old son came home from school November the 5th with his entire face, including his eyelids, scribbled on with green, red, and purple markers. He was humiliated. He hung his head and wanted to go wash his face, Hurst told the Time News of Twin Falls. Does sound like a David Lynch film, doesn't it? He knows he's a slow reader. Now he thinks he should be punished for it. Larson, who has taught at the school for 6 years, didn't respond to requests for comment, but Cassia County School District Superintendent Galen Smyer confirmed that what took place in the classroom, though he didn't name Larson. That's a serious sign of the times for me. I know that we have educators here, and I can't imagine an educator affirming that. Folks, my next birthday, if my wife lets me live, I'll be 63. And notice I caution you, because I don't know yet. I was born left-handed, and I'm old enough to tell you that educators tried to make me a right-handed person. They teased me. They had the class tease me. They told me writing with my left hand was stupid. And I don't know whether they were right or wrong. I still can't do cursive writing. And those of you who receive notes from me understand that. But that kind of behavior that shames people is a real terrible sign of who we are and what we are about as people and educators, to allow children to mark the faces. I had to read it twice, and it's a very brief article, but I thought, really? Is this what it's come to? Now, let me carry this and make it very personal. I started school in New England at age 5, and I started the first grade at age 5. Those of you who are educators know that was a terrible mistake on my parents' fault. Because I did not read well in the fourth grade because I was 8 years old and it was a long time ago. But I can tell you this, had somebody drawn on her youngest child's face, my mother would have been tried for some heinous crime. Because as uneducated as she would know that was inappropriate. Let me close with this thought. What is the sign of the time for you? Is it this teacher who's humiliating children? Is it understanding that we need to follow Jesus and affirm and love and care for people, whoever they are, regardless of what level they're reading at, regardless of where they live? Regardless of what their income is, are we not called to be active in discipleship rather than critiquing the free world? Just a thought. And yes, I have eaten a Twinkie, I confess, in front of my dentist. I don't know whether Dr. Phil Griggs is celebrating, but I'm a little sad that Twinkies are going out of business, but I also read in the business column that they probably won't because it's a big brand and somebody can make money off of it. We all have questions, we all have signs, we all have times, but we ought to be active in the field our Lord calls us unto.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out NoHoMethodistChurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.